Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 30th, 2007, a Thursday, the last day of the Farm Progress Show. I'm Todd Gleason, live from Progress City in Decatur, Illinois. Alongside us this afternoon, your Director of Agricultural Programming right here at the WILL radio stations, Dave Dickey. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd. And it has been a glorious Thursday out here to the Farm Progress Show. Certainly about the most people I have seen covering one of these on a Thursday in a number of years. And I know we have some of the organizers coming up later in the show. And I wouldn't be surprised if they might tell us maybe that we might reach that 300,000 number.
No, they won't tell us that. There's no way. But they're not going to give us numbers.
No.
Farm Progress Show stopped giving numbers a long time ago. They'll have an idea. But let's put it this way. The numbers here are really good. I think they're better than they have been in a long while. And you're right. As long as he has time, Matt Youngman, who's a show coordinator and oversees what's happening here at the site, will show up this afternoon. His wife is an alum of the University of Illinois College of Aces. Her name's Crystal, and we twisted her arm just a little bit, so Matt should be by this afternoon. Tell us how things did manage to wrap up here at the Farm Progress Show. If you're still on your way in, you know, we've got a couple hours left. Might be worthwhile to drop by. This is a heck of a show. It's easy to get around. If you have been here and you've been in the University of Illinois tent, we're at West Progress and 3rd Street. We want to thank you a lot for coming by and see us. This has been just a magnificent show. The day's show has been marvelous compared to the previous 2 days, only in terms of weather. And Ed Kieser will be here a little bit later to talk more about that. But it's been just glorious out here. Those first 2 days were a couple of, I almost hate to say it, Dave, Boilermakers.
Ooh.
You know, we had the dean. We had the dean up on the stage yesterday of the College of Aces. Not only the dean of the College of Aces, which is the University of Illinois Agricultural College, but we did have Purdue's dean up as well right here. And they didn't get in a fight. They talked a little bit about football. They didn't talk much because we weren't sure who was going to win that.
Yeah, nobody gave anybody points. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there weren't any points passed around on that. All right, let's get on with the show here. We need to talk about the commodity markets. I want to remind you that the Closing Market Report is made possible that by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialist. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting your regional sales manager, Scott Williamson, at 217-778-6485. That for the representative nearest you. Taking a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they finished up on this Thursday afternoon, the market's like this. The September wheat, 28 cents higher today. They made it all the way, Dave, up to the 30-cent limit at one point. They finished at $7.70 on their settlement price. December futures at $7.84.5. They were 26 higher. And the March contract up 21.5 at $7.77.5. September corn futures unchanged today. 322.75 was the settlement price. December futures at 339.75 were down a half for the afternoon. March contract, $3.56, down one. December at 390, they were off a half for the afternoon. September soybeans, 870.5, 12 higher. November contract finished the day 10.75 higher at 885. January beans, 10 higher at 899.5, and November contract at 892.75, up 6.25 for the day. Bean meal futures, September's at $240 even. They were up $5. October futures at $242.10, up $4.60. September bean oil, $36.33. They were up 7. October futures up a dime at $36.58. From the Mercantile Exchange, August live cattle down 7.5 cents, 94.57.5 for the day. The October's at 97.07.5, and they were down 97.5 cents. August feeder cattle, 42.5 higher for the day at 117.62.5. And the October lean hogs for the day finished at 67.85, and they were a dime higher for the afternoon. That's the way the settlement prices came in from the Chicago Board of Trade. I'm Todd Gleason, live in the University of Illinois tent at the Farm Progress Show. Dan Zwicker from ADM Grain Group on hand with us this afternoon to take a look at the marketplace as he is each and every Thursday. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being out here today.
I'm glad to be here. This is the third day here. I've been here all week. And, of course, the weather is, this is the beautiful day. The last 2 days were a little barren. They really tested you up there at that 99, 98 degrees.
Yeah, 99, 98 degrees will test you. Speaking of testing you, we tested some new contract highs. And, well, we made them right through them in the wheat market. overnight and then again today in the trade. What do you see there?
Well, we're in all-time highs. This was an all-time high move. We went above the 750 level, which was registered back in 1996. The key ingredient to the wheat market is there's world supplies are just absolutely tight. There just is no excess wheat around. So the market has finally hit this, the point that it's going to have to slow demand. And while it's slowing demand for old crop, it's trying to encourage larger wheat acres here in the northern hemisphere. Right here would be the U.S. As well as Canada. And I can say that the wheat market, I think, is making some headway in that move because the most popular quote ask at the ADM booth here over the past week is what July 08 wheat's doing. It wasn't necessarily what December corn was doing. So there is definitely some interest in increasing wheat seedings this fall in the overall wheat market.
Interest in wheat seedings, and I'll turn you over to Dave Dickey here in a moment for the corn and the soybeans. But interest in the wheat seedings, asking the question is not the same as sowing the seed. Do you think they'll put it in the ground?
Well, that'll depend a lot on what the weather pattern is come October 1st. The market is sending the signal that we, to the U.S. producer and world producer, we would like to see some more wheat planted. And I think when the pencils, you talk to farmers, depending upon what soil types they have and what part of the country they live in, I think they're seriously taking a solid look at it. And I think some have already made that commitment, and now they're maybe taking a look at maybe marketing opportunities. But October weather is going to be key. That, you know, whether or not we, you know, get into a little more rainier pattern. I mean, we may switch to an all-out wet fall before this thing's over with. So, but I think the intentions are leaning that way. And that's why I think the wheat market, it could go ahead and make a short-term high here. But I don't think the wheat market will turn down for any meaningful correction until it feels very comfortable that we did get a good wheat planting going here in Canada and in the U.S.
I have to continue with the wheat because it's been so fascinating and has been the leader in this marketplace, Dan. Today we were limit up, then we were down to about up 15, up 16, ended up 28. Is this technically suggesting anything to you that we might be reaching a top end of this marketplace?
Well, I think we could be reaching a near-term high, depending upon how you do some of these exotic time counts. I think the wheat market was in a window here to maybe have a short-term high. And the fact that we started limit up and the inability to close limit up tells you that everybody that was short the market that had a margin call yesterday or this morning was able to get out, and anybody that wanted to own the wheat was able to get in. So we're going to go into a three-day weekend. A lot of times you don't know what's going to happen worldwide in a three-day weekend. My guess is that you would see some consolidation probably tomorrow, take a breather and go through the three-day weekend, and then we'll take a look at things Monday morning or Tuesday morning.
Turn your attention to that soybean market where, again, today we were up, finishing at 870 and a half in the September and 885 in the Noves. I believe the August high for November was 888 and a quarter, so we're getting awful close to that point. If we break through that, you know, in the next couple of days, where are the next upside objectives in your mind? And by the way, off of that bottom V, are we in the beginning of a bull run in the soybean market?
Well, I'm going to take one step at a time, but we got to this 89 area, and then we probably got something around 98. Technically, when I left the office, I guess Monday afternoon, I've been back to the office since then. I was looking at the chart, and it looked to me like November beans had a shot at like 902 for the short term. And my guess is if we would start popping up through those levels, we would begin to find some buy stops that might go ahead and propel it up to that 902 level. But that's as far as a step I want to go for now. Then I think we could probably set back and consolidate, and then we'll see whether or not we want to go again. The bean market, I don't think the bean market is fighting for acres so much as I think it's finally recognizing the fact that we're probably going to have to slow demand, and we're going to have to entice the South American farmer as much as possible to increase soybean plantings this fall. The drop in soybean acres that we had this past year, and then when you look at the the rainfall amounts that we've had in the southern half or the southern third of the growing region here over the past 30 to 45 days, the trade, I think, is looking ahead toward the September crop report that the USDA is probably going to make some downward adjustment in yield expectations, and that just keeps the balance sheet all the tighter. This past year here, we're carrying in something like 575 million. Next year, it's looking at 220, and I think you're going to see that number come down. So the function of the bean market, I think, is to go ahead and try to slow demand, increase South American plantings, because I think the wheat market here in the U.S. is actually pulling bean acres into production through the back door. You'll see a much larger double crop bean planting next year than you did this past year.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group, talking to our Director of Agricultural Programming right here at the radio station, Dave Dickey at WILL.
Dave, give Dan Zwicker a round of applause, yeah. Would you please?
Dan joins us here on the radio station each and every Thursday afternoon. Dave, a quick question for you. What's the most improved thing at the Farm Progress Show in your mind?
The most improved thing? The streets.
Well, we'll find out.
All the streets are done.
They are all done. We'll find out in just a moment. We'll talk with Matt Youngman right here at the Farm Progress Show. He helps make sure that it all comes off right. Agricultural programming on WILL made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing farmers credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. A quick look at the forecast for this evening. Sunny skies, says our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Highs from 75 along the Chicago lakefront. That's tomorrow at 87 and in the far south. And tomorrow, wind speeds will be about 6 to 12 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities will range between 30 and 40%. Open weather expected through at least Wednesday of next week. The next chance of rain, says Ed, will come on Thursday or Friday of next week. Matt Youngman with us. He takes care of the Farm Progress Show site, not only in here in Illinois, but also in Iowa. Matt, just about over. I bet it feels good. What'd you think? Did the show go well for you? It sure looked like it did.
It absolute success. I tickled to death with how everything has come out. It was awful hot Tuesday and yesterday, and today has been a very nice day. Regardless of the weather, it didn't seem to slow down the crowds in any way.
Speaking of the crowds, I know you won't give us numbers, but in percentage, where are we at?
Well, when you look day to day, if you compare 2005 to 2007, Tuesday of this show was much bigger than Tuesday of 07. This was a very big Tuesday. And then Wednesday was what we expect, which is a huge crowd on a Wednesday. That seems to be the day that everybody comes to the show. Thursday, typically our slowest day, and that's what we see here, but a very, very good Thursday crowd that's really hanging on well into the afternoon.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, a slow day, but I think faster than most of them in the past, wasn't it? Surely, if that was the case.
Well, a lot of days by 2:30 in the afternoon, the place is just almost empty, and it probably has a lot to do with the weather. But the crowd sure is hanging on today, which is great to see. We want to give these visitors as much chance as we can to see the whole thing.
Finally, for the uninitiated, and then we'll let you get back to work because I know you've got a lot to do. How many vendors may be out here? How big is this show? What kind of value can you put on it?
Well, this is. We have 475 exhibitors, which is pretty similar to 2005, but the exhibitors took bigger spaces this year, so we had to add an 11th street to the facility. So there's 2.4 million square feet of exhibit space in here that's held within 80-acre exhibit field, you know, if once you add the streets and the plots and those kind of things. And, we've tried a project to figure out how many dollars worth of equipment's out here, and it's just and we can't get it figured out.
Let's say it's a lot, and millions may not cover it all. That's for sure. There's a lot. Thanks much, Matt. We appreciate you being with us. Matt Youngman, he's the show site manager here for Farm Progress Publications and the Farm Progress Show. Boy, does he do a lot of work. And give them another hand, because the Farm Progress folks have really made this work. I think, Matt, as you're walking out, I think they had 700, I was told this, 700,000 bottles of water. 700,000 bottles of water on hand, and they had to go get more. It was hotter than a son of a gun out here earlier, these first 2 days, wasn't it, Dave?
Oh, it was very warm the first 2 days. I believe it was probably over 100 degrees in the afternoon in the tent those first 2 days, but that didn't prevent the crowds from coming there, Todd. They continue to come on out in full force, enjoy the show, and what a show it really has been. A lot of new things on the grounds to look at this particular show year. I found that the large machines were just completely fascinating this year, Todd, and it was certainly a pleasure to go around and look at those things. Right now on the Illini stage of the Farm Progress Show is station manager of AM 580, FM 90.9, and the TV station, Mark Leonard, and my boss, actually. He's smiling very bigly right now. And the reason we have Mark up here is this is his first Farm Progress Show. He came to us about a year ago, and it's the first time that our agricultural audience has really had an opportunity to hear from him. He's been on many other of our day parts throughout the last year. So our chance here in the agricultural community to meet Mark Leonard. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you came from?
Well, I was previously more of in the soft fruit region, Washington State, where they have obviously an apple industry and grapes and mint and things like that. So this kind of crop is new to me.
And you also were on the other coast as well, isn't that right?
East Coast. I was in Rochester, New York for about 17 years. So East Coast, West Coast, now Midwest.
And now in the Midwest and at the Farm Progress Show, you had an opportunity to walk around for the last several hours. What are your impressions of this first Farm Progress Show?
I don't think I've seen anything quite like this since the 1963 New York World's Fair. The sheer scale and size and variety, you know, you've described it to me in the past, and I couldn't picture it. And if you are a fan of torque, this thing has an abundance of torque between all of the equipment, the gleaners and the combines, the vintage tractors. This is a torque and horsepower fest.
Oh, that's pretty funny because you're that's right. We know what PTO means, don't we?
Yes,
out here.
We
power
do.
Takeoff. Then you got a lot of torque out here.
We have to ask, where did you go to school for your undergraduate degree?
Upstate New York, Plattsburgh, New York, way up near Canada.
And the name of the school and its school colors are?
It's Plattsburgh State, and I don't have a clue.
Well, that's okay, because he is now in Illini country.
I know those colors.
And that country happens to be orange, is the color of choice in Illini country. And so we want to give Mark Leonard an orange jersey that he can wear out and about.
Oh, that's not just any orange jersey.
But it's
that's
not
a
just
College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences.
Wonderful.
Orange jersey. It says it's jersey. It says it right there on the sleeve. And it has our eye mark, which is different than the block eye, by the way. I don't know how many people have realized that, but the university, the Champaign-Urbana campus, has a different mark than the team does. The block eye is the team, and the eye mark, which is different, is for the university. So you can make a distinction between those two. Mark, we appreciate you being with us much. Dave and I really appreciate all
Thank
the
you.
Support. All the support I know that you have now and will in the future for the ag programming. And we'd like to invite Chris to come up to the stage from Country Insurance. She's going to talk to us a little bit about farm safety. That's an important topic. We're out here speaking of torque. PTOs can take a man and put him around around and around and around real quick, and they end up on the ground not very safely and usually hurt. And I bet the Country Insurance has a lot to say about farm safety.
Every year for about the past 15 years, we have released an annual study or survey, if you will, about the number of farm-related deaths in Illinois. And we work with the Illinois Press Association Clipping Service to gather that information. As we reach harvest, farm safety becomes foremost at our minds for our rural families, and it also is a perfect time to release that report, which we are doing today. The report showed that we have lost 22 people in the last year to farm-related deaths. And while that is horrible, we don't want to lose. We'd love to see that number be zero. It is. There's some good news in the report in that that number is 10 people less than were killed in farm-related accidents in the previous year, and that's the lowest number of farm deaths we've seen in the last 4 years. So there's some good news in the report.
Chris Anderson, tell me a little bit, what is it that farmers can do or should do during both the planting season and the harvest season, which are awfully busy for them? How can they make themselves safer when they're out on such large implements, usually by themselves, away from everybody else, and a long way from a hospital?
One thing we have seen safety advisors suggest, and I love the idea, is to put a sticky note on the dashboard of the cab, the tractor cab, combine cab, truck cab, to remind yourself to take scheduled breaks. You pick the time, put it on there and say, I will leave the truck, tractor, combine for 5 minutes, I will eat a snack in the shade, I will have something to drink, and then go back at it, because that's so important to take that break, take a deep breath, because it's such an intense period of time. Also, when you're moving machinery, as you know, we have some impatient drivers on rural roads, and you are king on the road with that big combine with the tractor or truck pulling the grain wagon. So patience goes a long way on the part of yourself as well as the rural driver. So be patient. Wait to find that safe place to get over and allow people to pass. And just consider yourself number one, as well as the people that you're sharing the roadway with, because our latest report showed that roadway collisions are number two in our farm deaths. Number one is still, as it has been for the last 7 years, tractor rollovers and runovers.
Chris Anderson from Country Insurance, we sure appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a great show for us, and I would encourage you to contact your country agent and get a brochure we have called Safety Matters in the Country, and it's a checklist for farm families to take, go around the farm, identify the hazards on the farm, and eliminate them.
All right, thanks much. Chris Anderson with Country Insurance. Dave Dickey, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Chris Anderson said that producers ought to take a break, maybe get a little something to eat. What does Todd Gleason say about that?
Well,
and when they ought to take that break?
I think they ought to take that break, Todd, sometime during the closing market report.
Yeah, between 2:06 and 2:36. I'm the only guy on the radio that will probably tell you to tune me in and go to sleep. I want you. That's true. That's
you
true.
Can go to sleep, the Todd's voice.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Dave. Tune me in if it's harvest season or planting season. I really want you to tune me in. And if you want to take a nap, go ahead and take that nap, because I'd rather have you wake up refreshed and ready to go and end up with all your fingers and toes and your life at the end of the day than have to read about you in one of the statistics that Chris Anderson just gave us. So when the harvest season starts and you're starting out there in the field and you're working 14, 16, 18 hours a day, make sure you tune in to the closing market report at 2:06 in the afternoon. And when Dan Zwicker is on or the other folks, you might listen up and fade off to sleep if you want just a little bit. The reason is this, is because even if you miss it during the afternoon, you can pick it up once you get back in at night. There's a great place to do that. What's the address, Dave?
Well, it's WILLAG.org. Click on the audio link.
That's right, WILLAG.org. You can pick up most of the ag programming is MP3 files right there.
Yes,
at that
it is.
Site. And you can sign up for Dave Dickey, and I'm going to call it your newsletter today. It's our newsletter, Dave Dickey writes most of the weekend newsletter that we put out. It's the best marketing letter you can find, I think. Certainly at the price, it's free. Just hit subscribe on WILLAG.org. In 2 minutes, we'll return, and our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Rod Blagojevich is moving forward with a plan to expand health care programs without approval from Illinois lawmakers. Today, the Democratic governor outlined a new program for sick and injured young adults who would provide coverage for people ages 19 through 21. Currently, state coverage through the All Kids program ends when someone turns 19. Blagojevich's aides say the new bridge program will cost up to $20 million a year and serve about 7,000 people. The governor failed to win legislative support for a major health care expansion this year, but he plans about $460 million in new spending anyway. Blagojevich says he'll come up with the money by cutting projects that lawmakers added to the budget, what the governor calls waste. Police in Champaign are looking for a burgundy-colored van that may have front end damage after hitting an elderly man this morning. The incident happened around 8 o'clock at State and Eureka Streets. Police say the vehicle drove away from the scene where the 76-year-old man was hit. Police haven't released the man's name but say he was critically injured. A more powerful helicopter will let more crew members attend to patients who are airlifted to or from Carle Foundation Hospital. 5 days ago, the Urbana Hospital took possession of an AirLife helicopter with dual engines and more horsepower. The hospital says the chopper will allow another medic, a family member, or another passenger fly along with a patient. Carle responds to trauma situations in a 50-mile radius. Authorities in Chicago say the hostages in a bank standoff are all safe, but there's no word yet on exactly what happened and what happened to the gunman. Chicago police spokeswoman Monique Bond says officers are still searching First Commercial Bank in the Rogers Park neighborhood for the gunman. He says no arrests have been made and the gunman may have escaped from the building. FBI spokeswoman Cynthia Yates says about 6 people were released from the bank earlier today with no injuries. The student newspaper at Southern Illinois University says it's found proof that SIU president and former Congressman Glenn Pichard plagiarized his doctoral dissertation. But Pichard says he could have forgotten to properly cite sections of the dissertation, but he did not plagiarize. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're coming to you live this afternoon from the University of Illinois tent located at the corner of West Progress Avenue and 3rd Progress Street, right on the Farm Progress site. There's a lot of progress happening here.
I was going to say.
Well, hi, Ed. Ed Keezer. I've got something to say, Ed. You know, on Tuesday we started, and I forgot to give the numbers because we were asked if we could change just a little bit of the format. So this is what the change was. They wanted to know what the finish at the Chicago Board of Trade was like. So here it is, 28 cents up in the nearby wheat, unchanged in the corn, 12 cents higher in the soybeans, roughly speaking. Now we ought to talk about the weather. You were sure I was going to take a lot more time than that out of your weather segment, weren't you? You didn't like it.
Well, what?
No, talk about the weather. You know what? It's been beautiful
you're
weather.
You're just making progress.
Yeah, we're making progress at the Farm Progress Show.
We've
site.
Made
Tell
progress
me about the weather.
With the weather.
Oh, yeah, it's nice
It's a lot
here today.
Nicer today. Those of you that came here today really picked the correct day to come, but I'd like to think it's because you listened to the weather forecast on WILL. And we've been telling you all week that Thursday would be the cooler day. Yesterday, it officially got up to 99 in Decatur, 98, I think, on Tuesday. And as Dave Dickey mentioned in the tent, a little hotter than that. That's all over with for now, and we're going to have some open weather. So if you have some field work to do, you have plenty of days coming up in a row to get it done. I talked to some folks that wanted to cut hay, a good time to cut hay. And I know some are already out there getting some of the crop in. It looks like no rain in this area before Thursday of next week.
Thursday of next week, after we get out that far farther out, have you got an inkling? I know you don't like to go that far out.
No, not really. we're at that time of year where the tropics can play a role. I think going out a week and saying it's going to be dry for a week is being it's taking a stand.
You know, I want to ask a quick question because I'm sure you will have thought about this and talked about it. It seems like it's been an awfully odd summer because we've had some really strange weather across the board. But when we're finished with it, the climatologists are going to look back at it and they're going to say this was a normal one, aren't they?
Well, that's what happens. The climatologists look at long-term averages, and this summer probably will end up average. We were cooler than average in July. We're now warmer than average for August. So, yeah, it'll come out average. And you look at the Midwest, some places got a lot of rain, some very little rain. You average it out. Average.
All right. Thanks much, Ed Keezer. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Chief meteorologist at the radio station, if you're in here, give him a big round of applause. Ed Keezer at WILL AM 580. You know, I want to say thanks to a whole bunch of folks that have made this possible here on site. Jeremy from U of I ACES did a lot of work of putting this program together. His last name is Robinette. Ed Keezer did some work putting it together. Dave Dickey, our Director of Ag Programming, sure helped out. My partner over at the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, when you see me on TV, the guy who shoots the video, he's a heck of a worker. His name is Steve Parker. He did a lot of work, too. And all the folks right here in the College of ACES, Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, and at WILL, did a magnificent job from the Farm Progress Show for the last time in 2007. I'm Todd Gleason.
2:36 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In business news, the U.S. economy grew at its strongest pace in more than a year during the spring, surging at an annual rate of 4%. Analysts believe growth is slowing, though, through the year's end. Long-term mortgage rates have edged down over the past week. Freddie Mac says the average for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages stands at 6.45%, down from 6.52% last week. And crude oil futures prices ended lower on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. The near-month contract for the benchmark grade fell 15 cents, closing at $73.36 a barrel. The Dow is off 26 points at 13,263. The NASDAQ now up 4 at 2567. The S&P 500 4 lower at 1460.
Support for today's broadcast is provided by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods at 6th and University in Champaign. For over 15 years, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of name-brand foods from around the world. Your suggestions and requests are always welcome. World Harvest encourages you to join them in supporting public radio.
Today's Moment of Science is inspired by the plethora of crime dramas on television these days. I will unveil the magic behind one-way glass.
I've always wondered how that works.
The trick is simpler than you might think. Most mirrors are made by applying a thin layer of a reflective material, aluminum in most cases, to the back of a sheet of glass. This is called back silvering, and it makes the glass opaque. When we look in a mirror, our image is reflected by the aluminum, which is made more durable by its glass covering.
So, is one-way glass not...